last word on the general election 2024.
Hi, I'm Ben Finnegan and this is day 11 of the 2024 general election campaign. Today, the Green Party wants to return to government, an idea of linking rents to your income, and we'll look back on Fine Gael's manifesto launch over the weekend. Starting with Fine Gael, and it is doubling down on its support for its candidate John McGahan in Louth. In 2022, he was acquitted of a charge of assaulting a man in Dundalk in 2018, but subsequently he was found to be 65% liable in a civil High Court case. Now, both the leaders of Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin, and Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald, said he would not be running in the general election if he were a member of their political parties. The CCTV footage of the incident in 2018 had been circulating online. It was also used as evidence in the criminal case. While this weekend, the Sunday Times published images of the injuries suffered by a man in the incident. Now, the Fine Gael leader and Taoiseach, Simon Harris, was asked about John McGahan's suitability as a candidate earlier today. This is what he said.
I've seen the video footage on the internet. I don't believe that is all of the footage. But what I do know is a jury saw all of the footage. A jury looked at all of the footage. A judge looked at all of the footage. And a jury acquitted John McGahan. And that has to be the standard that we hold in terms of our criminal justice system in Ireland. The people of Louth will have a right to decide who they wish to represent them in the next term.
Meanwhile, the Green Party leader says he would be happy to return to government with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. In outlining the party's case, Roderick O'Gorman highlighted the increase of rural public transport in the last number of years, as the Green Party has been involved in the coalition. He also said there's been a fivefold increase in the number of rural bus services and said the Green Party understands the need for more public transport. Roderick O'Gorman says he'd be open to a second term despite some issues raised by the coalition partners over the last number of years.
If the programme for government stacked up, if we had that focus on investment in public transport, in supporting families and children and continuing to work to reduce our carbon emissions, absolutely I'd be open to a new government based on strong agreed policies.
People Before Profit has put forward a new idea for renting. It's proposing linking a rent cap to your income. There have been suggestions that some people are paying around a third of their salary currently on rent, particularly in Dublin. Now, People Before Profit wants no renter to be paying more than a quarter of their wages on renting, while also, it says, it would bring in an eviction ban. A candidate in Dublin for the party, Conor Reddy, says the housing crisis is having an impact on people's lives.
This is stunting people's lives. It's breaking up people's social lives. Mental health, it's had a huge toll. I can speak from personal experience. Being insecure in where I was renting, when you're queuing up one of maybe 50, 60 people out of you, and when you're sending hundreds of emails at no answer.
And moving to the Social Democrats, it says it is committed to fight barriers people with disabilities face. If it goes into government, the party is promising to enforce the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. Now, that's a series of guidelines it says Ireland's national legislation remains out of sync with. A Ministry for Disabilities is also one of the five red line issues that the Social Democrats says it needs to meet if it were to go into government formation talks. Now, the party is also pledging to involve disabled persons' organisations in the decision-making process. And a candidate for the party in Dublin, Sinead Gibney, said it's time Ireland stops othering people with disabilities.
And unless we start to recognise that rights-based approach and move towards it and commit this significant funding to achieve that, we are never going to see people with disabilities be able to achieve those rights.
So Eamon Torsney from the newsroom here at Today FM joins me now. Eamon, you were looking over at the Fine Gael manifesto, which was launched over the weekend. What are some of the highlights?
Yeah, so had a quick look at that. One of the principal policies that's coming out of it is that they're going to cut taxes by about 7 billion euro. Now, that's over the course of a number of items. So, for example, it'll be reducing the USC will be part of that. And then they'll have electricity and gas VAT will be reduced from 13.5% to 11%. Food and catering businesses will be subject to the lower rate of 11%. So we know that that VAT rate actually caused controversy when they announced it initially. So that's interesting as well. So we can see how that will factor into the, if you like, the cutting of the taxes, the cost that it will cost the government. Other interesting policies that kind of stood out and that have been subject to debate, really, the child savings account that they are announcing.
This Acorn scheme.
That's right, actually, yeah. Yeah, and so it'll apply from birth, and it'll have a state contribution of €1,000 or €1,500 for lower income families, and the idea therefore is that it matures when they turn 18.
But now, there is an issue with that yeah, people are saying that it's better for better off families.
Well, there is that as well, because also they can make an additional contribution, which will mean it'll be kind of worth more to them than when the child is over 18. And then of course that means, well, are you in a position to pay that extra money, for these children? And obviously only people who have the money will be able to do that.
But if you do have the money, yes, when the child turns 18, it's worth, I believe, a max of €53,000.
Yes, that will be the max when the child turns 18. Now, it has come in for criticism, of course, from the other, parties running in the election in terms of, prioritising events here and now, which is one of the criticisms. Well, we can come back to that in just a few moments. Some of the other policies then: the state pension will be increased by €12 each year, or €60 over 5 years, at an overall cost to the Exchequer of €2.4 billion, and they'll ease out student fees over 5 years as well. So there's some of the key kind of financial issues there. A new Department of Infrastructure, Fine Gael, will merge to the Department of Transport and the Department of the Environment, Climate Change and Communications, as well as the infrastructure part of the Department of Public Expenditure. That's all down to, if you like, I suppose, to the controversies over finance and planning and costs of major infrastructure over the course.
The water services and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, so you can
see
how issues are, that have affected the government are kind of factoring into this manifesto. And just briefly then on health, promised 5,000 new inpatient beds by 2031 and proposed 6 new surgical hubs, one each in Cork, Galway, Waterford, Limerick, and 2 in Dublin.
Yeah, there were suggestions over the weekend as well. I know there was a journalist from the Irish Times who suggested that somebody should take Simon Harris's phone off him, or he would bankrupt the country, because he keeps pledging all this stuff that if they get into government, it seems like, from what you read there, that everyone could benefit from a Fine Gael government if it were to happen again.
Well, I've heard the phrase used as something for everybody in the audience over the weekend as well. But look, the opposition parties, again, it's that decision whether you spend now or you invest in the future. So that's kind of the balance that they have to strike, really. But certainly Fianna Fáil have been criticising there from a financial point of view, bearing in mind they're in government with Fianna Fáil, and they've been strongly critical of the manifesto. The finance minister says that there's a €2.8 billion gap that will actually cost public sector workers in some of the financial plans that have been announced by Fine Gael in that manifesto. As we stressed, it's all manifestos, it's all promises, so and that will all have to be worked out if there was a programme for government.
Yeah.
And he also said he was concerned over the provision of services allocated to the public sector in his coalition partners' manifesto, that had not allocated any additional funding to the health sector. So it's kind of interesting. There's a criticism in one way of the amount of money that's been spent, but then also certain sectors aren't getting enough money as well. So there's different aspects to the manifesto that have been criticised by the opposition.
You touched on a point there that's probably important to emphasise, that all these manifestos are being put out there. This is if Fine Gael got a majority government in itself, this is what it would implement, which is not going to happen.
Well, and I don't think it can happen, because I don't think they have enough candidates to an overall majority. So therefore, and all the parties basically will then say, well, we are going into negotiations for a programme for government, and they'll have to say, well, we're willing to sacrifice this policy because we want to prioritise another policy. So all the political parties will have to do that come the election and the aftermath.
And finally, Eamon, one of the pillars of Fine Gael is it markets itself as the law and order party. The Justice Minister has been under some criticism for the past year or so. What is it proposing to do with justice?
Well, interestingly, they talk about the recruitment of 6,000 new Gardaí over 5 years. They will also roll out the body-worn cameras and introduce facial recognition, and also expand the Garda Reserve. These are some of the measures as well that they are proposing. They talk about better Garda training facilities, including expanding the Garda Training College, and also setting up another one actually as well. So that's part of their plans as well. They go into a range. They talk about tackling antisocial behaviour and drug use by strengthening antisocial behaviour legislation. So it's really in depth what they have here. Delivering adequate prison capacity. Now, we know that's a problem in the UK, and it's been an issue here as well. The extent of prison capacity and the pressure on prisons. So they'll construct a new prison at Thornton Hall, which is kind of interesting given that
asylum seekers are being housed there now.
That's it, exactly, yeah. And it was, earmarked initially as a prison.
Yeah.
So, and it was
super prison.
It was almost assumed that idea was abandoned, but now Fine Gael, in the manifesto, have said that they will build at least one new prison on the site of Thornton Hall and will increase capacity and improve facilities for inmates as well. Modern courts, legal and inquest system. So again, more developments there. And they'll establish a Cabinet Committee on National Security, and that's quite an interesting development given what's, from an international perspective, what's happening around the world as well. Yeah. And again, these are just the policies that they're outlining in their manifesto. So obviously these have been issues they've been dealing with as well while in government.
Yeah, and it had been highlighted by Micheál Martin in particular that we had to wait some time for this manifesto to be released. Eamon Torsney from the Today FM newsroom, thanks for joining us. Tonight will be the first leaders' debate of the general election campaign. It will be on RTE1 from 9:35, and it features 10 leaders. Insert Tommy Bowe meme here. We'll look back on that 10-person debate tomorrow, however chaotic it may or may not end up being. Well, on The Last Word this evening, the show had its first leaders' interview. It was with the AIN2 leader, Padraig Tobin. Here's a sample of him responding to a question by Matt Cooper that his party has a populist approach to immigration.
The defining issue for us is that we're the party that's actually listening to people, and that's a really important issue. So, for example, the referendums just this year, we're the only party that listened to the people in relation to that. We did so on the basis of evidence and facts. We had a moral compass. We made a judgment. We took a side. We made an argument, a coherent argument. And I think, we helped carry a no vote in that election. In terms of migration, for sure, we put that issue front and centre, but on the basis of fact and figures again. So, in other words, we didn't use fear factor. We put in the hard questions to the government around how many people were getting deportation orders and how many people were actually being deported. And incredibly, it was around 5% was the deportations that were actioned from those deportation orders. We put in the questions about 5,000 people landing in Dublin Airport without travel documents in relation to, for 2 years, Helen McEntee did not know where 80% of the people, how they were getting into the country. And it was our questions in terms of coming across the border from the north of Ireland that actually highlighted that fact. So, what we've done is tried to build an evidence-based argument against the government and their actions in the last while.
You can listen back to that in full on podcast. Well, you can listen live to The Last Word's daily election coverage every weekday on Today FM from 4:30. That's it for day 11 of the campaign. We're exactly halfway to polling day.
The Last Word on the general election 2024. Today FM.